Thank you to the Battle of Ideas for inviting me to join this very august panel this evening. I'm particularly looking forward to hearing Linda and Jason speak, given their deep understanding of equality issues and their fearless stances on such matters. As Nina said, my name is Anne Ferguson. I work with a professional services organisation called PricewaterhouseCoopers, which provides predominantly financial services for clients in all shapes and sizes. We refer to ourselves as a firm of seamless solutions. Since the Equal Pay Act of 1970, I actually trained and was a student in the 1970s, and when I trained as an accountant, there were less than 1% of the annual intake were women. I loved it. But you know, but it was also a bit uncomfortable. I'm a third generation chartered accountant. So, 1970, the Equal Pay Act, Germaine Greer and the female eunuch, things are starting to change for women. Women are becoming galvanised. They have, in the last 30 to 40 years, made a lot of progress. They are allowed to reach their potential. They're allowed to live in we. How can I say they? We are allowed to live in our own skin. And allowed to participate in what was once a male preserve, as you have so eloquently stated, Nina. So what's the backdrop of the last 30 and 40 years, this evolution in society? Well, we can't ignore the fact that there have been escalating divorce rates. There are many, many more single parents, and they're invariably mothers. House prices have risen like never before until recently. Up until 3 years ago, there was easy, easy money. Debt became the cultural norm. It masked bad management and badly run businesses. People started to have children much later in life. And education, up until recently, was fairly affordable. So women were as inclined to go to university as men. So that has meant that I, who oddly enough stepped out of the job market for 20 years, I was married as a student, had my children very young, I didn't actually have a job that provided me with an income until I was 40. So it was interesting coming back in to apply business school as a lecturer at age 40 to find that there were as many women in the lecture theatre as there were men. So there were women going into law, to accountancy, to medicine, in numbers that they had never done before, these traditionally male preserves. Less so in engineering and construction, although I know some very able women in those sectors, but many of them are accountants. So what do we have today? Today we've got a situation where almost 60% of the first class honours awarded by universities each year are going to women. And as Nina has said, it doesn't yet translate through to the boardroom, but I think it will. The 100 biggest companies listed in the London Stock Exchange at the moment, earlier on this year, 12 of them had women on their boards. Now, with the publication of the Davis Report and the weight that it carries, there are 20 of these FTSE 100 companies that have women on the boards. That will eventually trickle through. There are hugely able women out there, and men don't want to ignore them. They want their talent, they want their plurality in the boardroom. However, this is why it was interesting for me to be asked to participate tonight. Because up until 5 years ago, I had lived my life in Scotland. And then I was called by PricewaterhouseCoopers and asked to come down and run a part of their business, this turnaround network to work with distressed businesses. I no longer run that. I lead an international initiative now, which is also very interesting. So I had, age 40, gone into academia. I loved that. I was then asked to join the Institute of Chartered Accountants as a technical lecturer. I loved that. In the early days of this century, I got a call from a London firm of headhunters. They were a young business, and they said, we would love you to open up a business in Scotland. One of the guys who ran this business knew me from his childhood, and he said, if you're the person I remember as a youngster, I think you'd be a good headhunter. Do you know, get you everywhere, that kind of chat. and I absolutely loved it. And I sometimes am asked to talk to groups in London, and I say I didn't really have a job till I was 40. I did have a job. I didn't really have an income till I was 40. I didn't have money till I was over 50. So I loved headhunting, and it was fascinating. And I was operating out of Scotland, although I was operating on a wider geography, quite an international geography. But at no stage did I ever feel that women weren't as considered for senior positions in companies as men. And I came across a lot of senior women who were very supported by their partners, where they made the family unit work, and they were also allowed to fly and achieve their potential, and it suited the household well. Actually, I was widowed then, and so I had a big hole in my heart, and out of the blue, a year after my second husband died, I got a call from PricewaterhouseCoopers when I didn't need a job, but I did need a life, and they asked me to join them. And I thought that, honestly, I couldn't understand what use I would be to them. I mean, I don't really look like an accountant, I don't think. And I couldn't think what value I could add. However, they thought I could add value. So I shot down to London thinking, well, I'm in the vanguard of the world. This will be fascinating. And 3 months into the job now, I was given a very senior role in the firm. So I'm working with the senior people in the firm. Been there for 3 months, and I turn up at a board meeting. And I said to the guys, do you know, I said, this beats the hell out of washing kitchen floors. But where are the women?
Yes, right.
And having a total party, and I haven't met a woman yet,
yeah,
other than at the earlier stages of their career. So I think, and I'm looking forward to your comments, I think that culture drives behaviour. But the culture in London is very, very masculine.
Mm.
Now, actually, I don't mind that. That kind of works really well for me because I'm lesser spotted. I get noticed and I get asked out a lot. I love that. But there is something about, you know, I could almost point to the people in our firm who will make partner. By heck, they're the mini-me's of the guys who are sponsoring them. Now, I love PwC with my whole heart. It's a paternalistic, kind employer, and it's trying really, really hard to promote women, to hang on to women, and indeed there are 100 women partners, but there's 16,000 of us in the UK, and 10% of us are in leadership positions. What's that? Is that 1,600 people? And there's probably 200 of those are women. So what is it about culture? And I had a chat about this with one of our partners this week. There is something about culture that approves of the people in the organisation who emulate it. And although people come and go, the culture lingers. It's hard to change it. It takes nerve. It makes people uncomfortable. So women studying accountancy make up at least... So the new intake every year in an organisation like ours is at least... half women. It's more than half women. And these are hugely able individuals. They're there wholly on merit. So why is it that they come in, they train with us, they are exceptionally talented, and then something changes? At some point along that journey, their confidence starts to wobble. Are they? Do they have a tension between the choices they're going to have to make about home life and work life? One of the things about working in an organisation like ours is it's very happy to help you, but only if you're visible. Visibility in a career is absolutely critical. And it's hard to remain visible if you want a family life. You know, it's easy for me to do a high profile job because I'm a widow and for the first time in my life I have flexibility. So I'm not really accountable to anyone other than those I choose to be accountable to. But if you're young, you want to have a family, want to do things with your life, and you're a girl, it's a game you. The hours are long hours. To create the business I created in PwC, I spent 2 years doing an 80-hour week. I never took holiday. I had nothing else to do at that time. I battered into it. I created something they'd never had before in the organisation. But that is not a good thing to do, and I am not a good role model. I have a daughter who's got first-class honours, and I have two sons that don't. They're very able. But they don't. I am a bad role model for my daughter because I watch her push herself too hard. and I don't like it. So really, the last point I want to make is that 10 days ago I heard Luke Johnson speak at a conference in Edinburgh. Luke Johnson was the founder of Pizza Express, and he then invested in the food chain Strada, and he now invests in Giraffe Cafes, which are all over London. I don't know if they're here in Birmingham, but they're a great brand. So Luke Johnson is an entrepreneur, and he has access to private equity. So this is not stuff from the public, the stock exchange. This is private investment. This is true entrepreneurship. And what he said is he is seeing women coming through in droves. And I think that there is something about the current climate, this cash-starved environment, which is actually going to give women, who I think by inclination are risk-takers more so than men, oddly enough, I think it's going to give them the chance to fly. I can think of a wonderful woman who runs a microbrewery and a restaurant in Glasgow. I can think of women who run specialist bakeries. I can think of women in interior design, women in textiles and fashion, women running their own consultancies. You will have countless examples. Women are well suited to a lean, mean, fast-flowing business that they can control. I was well suited to running my headhunting business because it was little and I could manage it. And I could get right out into the market quickly all the time. It's like wading through treacle when you work in a big organisation. So in a cash-starved world where our values, I think, will shift towards more overt humanitarianism, and you may disagree with me, but I think that women will take a really responsible agenda. I think they will be interested in getting involved with business. I think they're less concerned about huge incomes. I think they're less concerned with status. And never forget, I love men. Thank you for listening.